And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything is on their mind.
So extra, extra one. That's why you get the podcast.
Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Big D and Bubba. Random birds.
Oh, that's a new gold.
That's a brand new gold from this week. You know, it's not every week. Do you know what that's from?
I do not.
That is from Mike Tyson. That is actually Mike Tyson. We had Mike Tyson on the show on Thursday.
Yeah.
And he was
a mess.
He was not very lucid. Like he was completely out there. So, like, we were talking about some of these merchandising opportunities he might have. By the way, the podcast, I'll go into the story. The podcast is coming to you from the Castrol GTX Magnatech Studios. Castrol GTX Magnatech. Instant protection from the moment you start. Go ahead and get it for your motor. You're going to love it. But yeah, so he's coming on and he's talking about this and that. And Big D's like, what kind of merchandise are you working on? And he's like, it's a secret. And Big D's like, well, what you need is an umbrella that you pop open and it goes, it's raining. And he's like, ha, ha, ha. So then, like, it's out of nowhere, all of a sudden,
Big D and Bubba, raining birds.
It's raining birds is what he said. Mm. Big D and Bubba, it's raining birds.
I don't know. Look, he's the champ.
I mean, was he in his house looking at his birds?
I don't know. You know, he's got like a thing
for pigeons. Yeah, he's got a thing for birds.
Well, it's like, have you watched the Mike Tyson Mysteries thing? They've got a character on there, pigeon.
Yeah, it comes, if I wake up and I realize it's still on, I'll turn it off. But yeah, so I think I've seen it
okay,
in 1 minute increments.
Hey, Big D and Bubba, training birds. Yeah.
My favorite part of that interview is when D said, George Foreman in the grill.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Are you mad about that?
I would be mad about that.
I knew halfway through that interview that we could ask him anything.
No. I'm still laughing about the Foreman thing. That is just the funniest thing to me.
I thought, because, you know, at first we're kind of like, hey, man, what's going on, champ? And it was very clear. Well, it took us a couple of minutes. that he had no intention of talking about his book. He didn't want to talk about Custom Autos, the guy the book was about. He was just there. And so that's when Bob and I were just
like, it wasn't that he wasn't trying to talk about those things. He just had no interest in talking.
It was like one word answers. Like, yeah, how great was that to work with him? It was great. Okay. there's no way he wrote that book. I mean, there's zero chance.
But he does that show. He does that the Mike Tyson one-man show that apparently talked to a friend of mine who was very excited. We talked to Mike Tyson, by the way. But he was like, oh, man, yeah, he does that one-man show, and it's fantastic. But apparently it's scripted and all that. So he's like,
fantastic.
He said it was funny.
Shows up. By fantastic, you mean he shows up.
Like, do you remember when Charlie Sheen was going through the whole Tiger Blood winning thing,
mm-hmm.
and he went on tour and did, like, the one-man show?
He went on tour?
Tour.
He
went on an
he was
onion
on
browser.
The road, but he did. He did all these shows, and people are like, it was amazing. Well, really, was it amazing? Or was it that you were just excited to see Charlie Sheen?
Yeah.
Like, were you just excited to see Mike Tyson? Yeah.
Anyway, it was.
Sorry about the camera thing. I messed it up.
It ended with the flame. It was kind of.
Big D and Bubba. Random birds.
That's, you know, normally for like when celebrities come on the show, we're like, hey, can you say, hey, you're listening to Big D? But we didn't even do that because we had something better.
You did.
Big D and Bubba, random birds.
This is so weird. It didn't even sound like him. Bubba's like, dude, it didn't even sound like him.
Well, that's what
I told
Big D. I said, it doesn't sound like Mike Tyson because of all the bad impressions we've heard over the several years, you know. That you expected to talk like this the whole time. And he's like, didn't talk like that.
No, he barely talked. I don't know.
That's true.
I was talking to Gunner about it because Gunner was really interested in how it went. And I said it was awful and great at the same time. And he said, yeah, I saw he tweeted out something about he's at a tennis court. And he's like, I spend all my time here nowadays. And then it put hashtag tennis life. And he said someone put replied with and put hashtag Tinith Life.
Yeah. That's pretty great. We were watching the Knockouts compilation. If you've never watched that, it's pretty impressive. I mean, because we've been watching MMA. Now, don't get me wrong. MMA has some great knockouts. But there's something about watching him hit somebody with an uppercut and you swear their head is not going to remain attached. That was brutal.
In his prime, there was none better. He was a heavyweight. He was the youngest heavyweight of all in all
champion.
The heavyweight. Okay.
Well, you said heavyweight
champion, right? In all the different divisions they had. I don't know that. Back in the day, man, he was it. Speaking of fights, the
McGregor Mayweather
fight.
Are you watching that?
No.
No?
Do you know what we're talking about?
You guys noticed I'm a girl?
So? Like, you don't get into the pomp and circumstance of it all?
Oh, my God. I hate hockey fights.
What?
I hate fighting. It scares me. I'm afraid someone's going to die. I don't want to. I find it so gross. I can't deal with it. It makes me so uncomfortable.
Huh.
I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. You ever been in a fight?
No, I got punched in the face once because a dude was walking down the hallway and he just sucker punched me square in the nose. It's because he was trying to hit the guy in front of me. Because it was like high school. I was walking through the hallway, and the guy in front of me saw it coming, and he ducked, and I got jammed square in the face. So I guess that's as close to
it. Do you like that smell?
That that just
well, she
copper.
Said the face. She said the face. She didn't say the nose.
No, it was. I mean, it was square here, and yeah, I did that. And I just got punched in the face. And of course, because I'm a goody two-shoes, I immediately ran to the principal. Jeff punched me!
What's his name?
Oh, Vanderbeek? No.
It wasn't James Vanderbeek?
No, I could probably take him in a fight.
Oh, big words! Okay. Big words. But, it's raining wow. words.
But yes, I have
it's
seen...
It's raining words.
Carson, it's raining words.
But me and Bubba, raining words.
But you have a big fight you're talking about coming up. I didn't mean to detract from your
testosterone
stuff.
So the argument for years has been what's better, who's a better fighter, MMA or boxers? Mm. And you've got arguably one of the best boxers fighting one of the top MMA guys, and it's going to be crazy.
Do you think is he the best MMA guy in his weight?
McGregor is, dude, he's punishing.
Is he the best, though?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know a lot about that world.
You can argue the best. He is one of the best. He is one of the best. And just like you can't say that Mayweather is the best ever, but there is an argument for it.
He's never been beat.
Yeah. I mean, to be the best ever, you have to beat all of the legends. And you can only do that in video games.
I mean, if it's on Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, maybe I'd have a shot, but.
I used to play Punch-Out.
See?
I played me some Punch-Out.
Great. It's about as far. That's as old as I get in video games.
I don't know. By somebody keeps sad face liking us on Facebook, and it's very distracting. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know what we did to sad face you, but
we're a bummer.
Yeah, sorry. We need some happy likes.
Maybe it's because they have to see us.
maybe.
I do apologize. Yes,
but I think whenever you're talking about Mayweather fighting against McGregor, Mayweather is going to be very, very much in the advantage because they're boxing. You know, it's McGregor fighting in Mayweather's world under Mayweather's rules.
Oh, so they're doing a boxing match?
Yes,
not MMA, which. Based on what I've seen clips of, kind of anything goes.
Yeah.
I've seen people use feet
yes.
and stuff. So yes. He can't kick Mayweather.
From what I understand, no, they're going to do the whole thing as, you know, a boxing match.
Oh, yeah. He's probably going to lose that then.
That's what I'm thinking.
Right? Because, I mean, this dude's a skilled boxer.
And the thing about Mayweather is he is one of the best defensive guys. He's really hard to hit. And, I mean, that's why he's one of the best. You know, he's almost impossible to get a square shot on. You know that shot like in your nose that you were talking about?
Yeah.
That wouldn't have happened if you were Mayweather.
Hmm.
So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I think Mayweather has the most to lose in this situation because it's his world.
Well, yeah, if you're a boxer
and you lose to an MMA guy in a boxing match, I think that's...
Yeah, that doesn't bode well for your future.
Right, right, exactly.
Because people will always reference it.
Yeah, and I think you have a chance of tarnishing your legacy forever.
Mm-hmm. But right. If you're getting paid.
And they are getting paid.
Yeah, I mean.
What was the numbers, Big D? You said something crazy.
$100 million apiece.
What?
Yeah.
So you're telling me there's rich guys in this sport?
Oh, yeah.
There's not a lot of them.
Oh, okay.
But there are.
I mean, $100 million.
Yeah, that's okay. For one fight.
That's what I'm saying. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's like anything.
You
else.
Have to be
music,
at the super, super top.
Yeah, to make, yeah, everyone's yeah. Like, I'm going to make money like Tim McGraw. Yeah, you're not. But
Tabitha's
whatever.
Saying Mayweather has a problem with lefties, so you don't know.
Okay.
What?
Anyway, nothing.
Hey.
Anyway, so, yeah, they're making a lot of money, and they're also Mayweather didn't want to do this fight. You know, he has everything to lose.
Yeah, because again, it's his legacy.
So they had to make it really sweeten the pot for him. He has his own promotion company.
Yeah.
So they took over that. So he's getting even more.
Yeah.
He'll get the kickback of his company. Will get all that stuff. So. That's why I believe he did it.
So do you think he's doing $200 million on this one fight?
I don't know.
By the time it's all said and done?
I mean, this is going to be – this fight is as big as
– Tyson Holyfield 1.
Yeah, it's that big.
Actually, maybe as big as Tyson Holyfield 2.
It might be that big.
Because of all the drama.
Tyson Holyfield 1 was big. 2 was enormous. I don't know, man. As big as the second one? Could be.
Which one?
It's just different.
What's your incentive to keep going, though? After, like, you're getting $100 million for this fight.
I know. I don't know. I
would you honestly
keep going after this?
Yeah. Like, why would I? You give me $100 million. You don't ever have to hear from me again.
I think that's the idea. I think both of these guys are going, you know, this is the payday to end all paydays.
Yeah.
And we can walk away.
I would.
You know, McGregor has kind of walked away already, and then he came back, and you know, so I think he wants to go out on top. Everybody wants to go out on top. You never want to fade away. You don't want to be Michael Jordan coming back as number 45.
It's better to burn out.
You don't want to be Michael Jordan playing for the Wizards.
Yeah.
You want to be Michael Jordan, 23, Chicago Bulls, and be done with it. And I think these guys are thinking, you know what, we're both in the absolute top of our game. And if we do this, we can make that choice on whether to walk away forever, because $100 million payday.
$100 million.
But he's already got all that. He's already got all the money. It's not a money thing. I mean, maybe. I guess it is for him. For McGregor, it's not a money thing for him.
Yeah.
It's I want to show you that you're not as great as you think you are, because he's so cocky. They're both cocky, but I'm not a Mayweather fan at all. When you drive, they did a thing on him. You know, he knows the cameras are on him. So he's like, hey, what's the day in the life of Mayweather? He lives in Vegas. So he's like driving around, and he's going to go to some, like, I don't know, like
a casino or something.
No, it's like and I may be wrong here, but it was like a kind of like a Sonic type place, you know, where you kind of pull up a drive through kind of, you pull up and there's like a
they serve you.
Diner type thing. I think it was that kind of thing. But he drove in a Bugatti, and he had his bud follow him in his other Bugatti to show everyone that he has two Bugattis. Man, I put you in a whole nother category. Yeah.
Instead of
that.
Just driving the one as though that wouldn't be good enough, you have to show that you have another one.
Yeah. So he just pulls up. And
when you flaunt it like that, it is kind of crazy.
So,
then again, it's just like I saw a guy in a white Ferrari the other day. And I'm like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Who buys a white Ferrari? And my brother and I were talking about it. My brother's like, I'll take it. And I said, I would too. But who's the dummy who orders it white? Like, you're trying to be understated with your wealth. You're driving a Ferrari.
Yeah.
You don't buy a Ferrari unless you're saying, look at me. And if you're going to say, look at me, get it in red.
Yeah, that's true. You really want to be flashy.
That's the way it needs to be. Yeah.
And see, a white sports car like that always reminds me. There's a scene from a movie from the 80s where it's one of those big breakup scenes, and she's got a chocolate milkshake in her hand, and she dumps it all over the hood of his white expensive sports car.
Which one?
Can't Buy Me Love.
Yeah.
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 And she pours it over Bobby's car. But I always think of that when I see dudes with like white sports cars
that
are
Can't
super.
Buy Me Love, by the way.
Me too. I know. But I always think of that scene because I would be paranoid that somebody would just be like, man, look at that guy with the car, and just throw fast food at it.
You know, I had, back when I had my white, it's funny, I had a white sports car, but it wasn't a Ferrari, because I couldn't,
no way.
But I had a very cool white sports car, and I bought it in white, not because I wanted to be understated, but because I like white cars.
Mm-hmm.
Like almost every car I've ever owned, in, you know, except for maybe that black Jeep or the blue Jeep too, almost everyone has either been silver or white because they look cleaner. So in other words, you don't have to wash it as much. And you keep your wheels clean and everything else looks good. And that's a fact. That's something most people don't know.
Yeah, you guys are big on the wheel cleaning. I learned that from you.
Yeah, if you keep your wheels clean, your car looks clean.
So now I pay for that extra at the car wash.
Oh, good.
I do.
You know, you don't need to. It's really a quick... You should just keep a spray bottle in your car.
I'll get right on that.
You've
met me.
I use the tire foam. What's the little tire foam called? The stuff that you just...
Well, there's a bunch of different ones.
Like the One Touch or whatever. You go,
it's the tire foam.
And you walk away.
It's not as good, though.
It's not, but in a hurry.
But it's not bad.
The job.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I said it does the job.
So anyway, yeah, you should put that in your car.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have? Do you have something in your car that's like you always keep in your car? You're like, I always have this in my car just because.
Because you have to have it?
Like, I always have a flashlight in my car. I'm very big on that. Like
afraid of the dark?
No, I just have that, but it's a super strong like mag light just in case. And so I always make sure.
Can you change your tire?
No.
Have you ever changed a tire?
No.
What do you do if you get a flat tire?
I have AAA. And
they fix a flat.
Yeah. No, I actually, once that happened, I had a tire, I guess, just kind of pop, or I don't know what it did, but I had to pull over on the side of the highway, and I'm calling AAA, and the guy, the driver I got, he was kind of not sure where I was, and it's going to be X amount of hours, and so then, like, I called a friend of mine, I was like, can you come fix my tire? And he did. And so, yeah, I guess I'm useless in that.
Have you ever taken your, do you understand how it works at all?
Like taking off a tire and putting one on?
Yeah. Like, you know everything. If you had to go outside right now and change your tire, what would you do? What's the first thing?
First thing I would go is go in the glove box because I have the wheel lock.
Oh, yeah.
So I know I have to do that.
That's nice.
I have to do that.
That's knowledge right there.
So I would have to, now, do you use it with the little cranky thing?
Okay, you got to help us here. Cranky is what? What's a cranky thing?
It's the thing that's got like,
the crankies?
Maybe a hexagon indentation in the middle, and the other side is you.
Like a bar?
Yeah, a bar, yep. I think you have to jack up
or a
the
tire
car.
Iron.
Tire iron is what they're called.
Oh, is that what they are?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was just something you beat people up with.
Or the cranky thing.
Oh, it actually is a use.
Okay, so.
So I think you have to get out. There's a little thing in the back of your car that you have to pump to raise your car up.
Uh-huh, a jack.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Sure. And then
do you know where it's at in your car?
No. I'm assuming it's with a spare tire.
Where's your spare tire?
Trunk.
Okay.
Yep, I know that.
Underneath the floor of the trunk?
I drive a little coupe or whatever. I don't. Yes. You know what I drive?
It's called a coupe.
A coupe.
It's a coupe.
Those so things you put on your head.
You just lift up the what would be like the rug in the trunk, and I know the spare tire's there.
That's why it's called a coupe.
So I'm assuming it's there. And then you get out the tire iron.
Okay.
And you pull off those,
pull off those.
The lug nuts?
Yeah.
Is that what those are?
That's what holds your tire on.
All right, look at that. So you take all the lug nuts off. And then does your tire just come off?
Okay, you skipped over a couple of steps. So you're going to take that jack out.
Right, and you have to place it under.
There's a certain spot.
Yeah, I don't know how to find that spot.
Well, it's not hard. There's a spot under all cars that you can raise up the car.
Yes.
Okay. Here's the easiest way. Check your your owner's manual.
Mm.
It tells you where the jack spot is.
I open my user's manual for? Twice a year when I have to change the clock.
Oh, wow.
Or if I get a battery changed, I have to figure out the lock code to get my radio working again.
This is why we need to get you a man, because yes, he needs to change the time.
You don't need a
that's
man.
My
can,
jo-
no,
that's my job. That's my job at the house. I
yeah.
fix all the clocks I'm in not, the entire house.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah, you know, I'm woman. Hear me roar and all that stuff. But like, no, you know what? I could use a dude for this.
No, I'm not saying to because he knows how. I'm just saying to do it for
no, just
you.
To, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I agree.
All right, so anyway, you put the jack under there.
Okay, so you get the jack.
Then you're going to take that entire iron, okay, and you're going to turn it toward, you know, the part that doesn't have the little cranky part?
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to stick that into the female part of the jack.
Yes, and you use
and
that
you just,
to...
You go up and down, yep. Okay, and then, this is very sexual, and then it's going to go, it's going to raise the car, okay? Yep. All right, and now
how far do you have to raise the car?
Enough to get the wheel off.
Okay.
So, you know, that far off.
Okay. So just a couple inches. You're
yeah.
right.
Yeah. And then you, you're gonna take the lug nuts off.
Yep.
Okay. By the way, I can't remember. Do you have to take the lug? You don't take them off in a certain order, but you put them back on.
You put them
order.
On, you go one side, then you go to the exact
the opposite,
opposite.
And then
you do the other ones. Yeah.
Oh, so you just kind of.
Yeah. I also.
You crisscross applesauce.
Before you put it up on the jack, loosen the lug nuts on the ground. That way you're not twisting it on the jack where it could fall off and actually kill you or something.
This is where I kind of feel that my junior high education failed me.
I think
we should learn that stuff.
You should have learned that. I mean, I made a pillow in school. That's what I learned how to do, was just make a pillow. Now, I did learn to sew, which is great, but I don't remember how to do it now.
No, learning to
I
sew,
have a
I
sewing
think-
machine.
I do too. Actually, that's my hobby. You know that
I didn't
sew.
Know that.
Yeah, like I, you know, those jeans I make and stuff.
Yeah, but I didn't
that's
know
my...
you sewed. I thought you just like bedazzle and
yeah,
go
no,
crazy.
No, I mean that's actual sewing, and I yeah, it's. But again, so I learned that in junior high.
The little designs and things that you put on them and mm-hmm. all. That's
yeah.
I thought that was like, you know how you just get those heat things
oh,
and
no.
they transfer.
Oh no, I sew. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I rip jeans apart and I put them back together, but. But anyway, that's like learning to sew, I think, is super important. Do you have any people come to me like, I heard you sew. Can you put a button on my jacket?
What?
Like, you can't do three loops, but no, I've done that for dudes.
You've put buttons on people's
yeah,
things because they don't know
they
how.
They don't know how to do it.
Wow.
But home ec, I learned how to cook an omelet, which, I mean, you know, comes in handy if I want a tasty breakfast.
Right.
But, you know, woodworking, I feel like if they could have split the time teaching me how to use a router with also learning how to put a tire on, that would have been a good.
I agree.
You know, because well, people say too, like, I happened to have a teacher when I was in school that said, this isn't in the curriculum, but you guys should know how to balance a checkbook.
Yeah.
Sounds and, you silly, know, but.
Well, they used to make it mandatory. We had to take home ec.
Yeah.
Home economics, which is basically how to balance a checkbook, how to mm-hmm. figure out a budget, how to do this, how to do that, how to understand the basics of financing and a loan and how it works that kind of stuff. Plus, you know, that thing called cooking and being able to, you know, figure out what to do with a recipe, how to figure all that. I mean, it was all the basics, life basics that our kids don't know. They don't
you
teach
know
them that
was
anymore.
Super useful to me was electrical because they taught you how to kind of rewire so you could change a light fixture or a light bulb.
They did
which
that?
I feel pretty proud that I can do, that I was changing out a light fixture in my house the other day.
Kudos
and
to
I
you.
Can do that. So, I mean,
I
you
can
know,
do
it's a couple
it, but
of
I'm,
wires.
I'm
but...
afraid if I'm afraid I'm the guy who's going to forget to turn off that thing at the box, at the breaker box, and then I'm going to end up shocking
myself. Do you know how paranoid
myself?
I am? I turn off the entire house.
Really?
I just go through and like, that's it, because even if...
then there can't be any mistakes.
Nope, because that way we cool. Like, I know everything's off. It's an all or nothing with
me. That's pretty smart.
That's so awesome.
So paranoid. But yeah, but changing a tire, nobody ever showed us how to do that. I don't even know that we had auto shop in high school. Because I know some high schools would offer it. I don't think mine did.
We didn't.
We did.
So
I didn't take it because I would go to my dad's shop.
Oh.
And pretend I was doing stuff, and all I was doing was just there so I could drive the he had a golf cart at his body. My dad did auto repair and all that, so they had a golf cart. So I would go there to act like I was going to help him, and then I would just take off in the golf cart and just drive around all day.
Because,
you know, as a kid, when
golf carts are the coolest.
Yeah.
Actually, as an adult, golf carts are still the coolest.
My kids keep asking, Dad, can we have a golf cart? And it hurts my heart to say no, because I know how much fun I had on the golf cart when I was a kid.
They are. They're good times.
Yeah, we had a scat tracker. It's like an old three-wheeler.
Oh, okay. I was like, what is that?
Yeah, old three-wheeler. Oh, my gosh. I found them on Google.
God, did you really?
God, that was a dangerous thing.
Like the Honda Odyssey. Not the Odyssey. The, what was it? The, oh, goodness. The one with the roll cage.
No, I'm going to show you what I had.
I said the Odyssey. That's like a minivan.
Well, then they had an Odyssey. There's an Odyssey that's a four-wheel.
Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah, they do make that.
Oh, my gosh, dude. That looks like a death trap.
It was.
It looks like.
Unbelievably dangerous.
Come on, kids. Doesn't Let's go just, see how long it takes to die.
Look how unbalanced it is.
Dude, it's got a grocery cart wheel in the front.
I mean, I was like, why did my dad get that? I mean, it's cool, but.
I bet it was fun.
It was fun. I begged my brothers to let me drive it. And then I finally got on and I drove straight into a tree. Like, I could see the tree coming. It's that weird thing. Your mind's weird. Like, you're driving and there's only one tree. I had all the whole rest of the yard to go. And I just went straight towards the tree. It's weird how your brain does that.
Just, I had a couple of friends that we were at a concert and we were like, working at it, and they'd given us some sort of like ATV to drive around and get around, and it was a pretty flat expanse of land, except there was one mound of dirt like in the middle of nowhere, and dude in the ATV, man, if he didn't find that one and he rolled the thing, and so now you've got like six people out there trying to push it back over, and mm-hmm. It was you could have avoided this easily, but like he's like, I don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. I just drove toward it. It was there. It's like a magnet.
It is. It's like your brain goes, go towards that. And you just go, hit it.
You're like, okay.
It's bizarre.
It's good.
I've always learned you will drive where you look. And if you're looking at the tree, you're going to hit the tree. Yeah. If you're looking at the cliff, you're going off the cliff. It's basics. I mean, and the worst is like, I'll be in the car with my daughter. You know, she's just now driving and all that. And she does this. She'll turn. Like, she'll go to look over her shoulder. I'm like, check the lane. And she'll go to look over her shoulder. When she does, she drifts the wheel.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just a little bit of drift. Like, she's taking a 90. I'm like, whoa.
I remember doing that when I was learning to drive. And my dad said the same thing. He's like, no, don't move your hands just because your head is looking in that direction. And she'll figure it out.
I tell a lot of the, I found a fire pilot once, and he said that, I was like, how touchy is this stick? And he goes, it's extremely I mean, it's very, very touching. He said, I always go by, I'll have my hand on the stick, and if I want to turn right, I think about it. I just think about turning right, and I go right.
It's just that.
It just that's all it takes, just that little bit of, and you go. And then you go.
It's kind of like a boat. Boats are kind of like that.
Are they that sensitive, too?
Okay, I think, you know, if you don't try to drive it, if you just think it, then you just find you drive
like the
boat better.
The instinct is.
Yeah, it's much better. Much better.
All right.
That was great.
Well, this has been a fun podcast, everyone.
Big D and Bubba, Brandon Birds.
My favorite part of that whole thing is the laugh at the end. The laugh is so just.
Big D and Bubba, Brandon Birds.
By the way, Larry the Cable Guy was fun today. It was great to talk about
Striper.
He's the only one. Seriously, we'll go back and forth on Twitter with him about Striper, and I know it makes his day because it makes our day.
We're his only Striper friends.
Yeah, he doesn't have any other Striper friends. You know who his other Striper friends are? Striper. And so
he actually said that.
And so when we get on there and we're like, Bubba sometimes will do like, you know, I don't know, whatever, a reference, and he'll include Larry. And he's just, he always responds like, yeah. Or
I have a friend from college and we bonded over our love of like 80s hair metal because at that point it was so passe and nobody liked it and we just adored it. And he is. I mean, you guys are fans, but this is the biggest Striper fan I've ever seen in my life. I need to bring him by someday when he's in town and just let you guys go at it. And I'll leave I'll go to lunch for an hour And I'll come back, and you guys will be talking about Yellow and Black and stuff.
That would be great.
Yeah, you've got to meet Kate.
Do you remember that van on the, what was it, the Soldiers Under Command album? They had this van.
Yeah, the van.
It looked like Mr. T's van, and it was like, they had like these weird spoilers all over the place, and like those big goofy 80s TV antennas.
Yep.
And it was just, they tried to make it look like it was a military van, but it looked horrible.
Hey, we got a text that just came in. By the way, people can text throughout the day. We get it. It comes in through here on our heads up here, our heads up display.
Called a computer monitor.
And this person says, Joy, assuming it's a girl, says, hey, I'm leaving for camp tomorrow for 7 weeks.
Whoa.
Can you please send me a postcard?
Aw.
So we're going to send Joy a postcard every week.
Yeah.
Do you have Joy's address and everything?
Yeah, and then put the address. I got a feeling this is maybe a copy and paste, but whatever. Like, Joy just wants to get mail.
Joy wants to look popular. Yeah. I'm down. I get it.
Okay, and Joy gets mail again.
Like, I went to camp, and I didn't know. Like, the first day, they're like, mail's here, and my mom had sent me a postcard. She sent me postcards every day. And you know what? That was cool, because it was like, ah! You got mail again. Yeah. I mean, I know it's your mom, but still.
Did she send you like a package? Like a.
No. Oh, my. A camp wasn't that long. I was going to say,
I didn't get any stuff like that because I did church camp and it was a month.
That was the thing. It was church camp.
And we would go every year for 1 month and it was the best ever. But I never got. My parents never sent me mail.
I haven't thought about this in you. One of my camp counselors at church camp, she was obsessed with Striper.
Uh-huh.
Now that I think about it, because she signed my little picture, and it was something about Yellow and Black Attack and whatever Bible verse they quote, she wrote it.
That's right.
Wow, Striper has just been in my life this whole time.
Isaiah 53:5.
Thank you. Thank you.
What's it say?
Stone Cold 316.
I don't know. You tell me.
What should I say
to Joy? Should it be a surprise? Should I just ignore it like I never saw the text? Or should I say, you never know, or absolutely, or just nothing?
Put you never know.
Yeah, is this YA?
Well, why would you do that, though?
Okay. Oh, you think it'd ruin the surprise?
Yeah, I think you either...
Do I just ignore it?
You either tell her we're doing it, or you don't do it.
Or you just write K? You send back a K?
Or you just don't reply.
New phone, who dis? I'm doing that. I'm going to put new phone, who dis? And it's, okay, what... Does she come back and go, this is Joy Williams? Do I see that? I'm gonna do that.
Let's just see what she does.
I'm doing new phone.
Who dis?
Who dis? Okay, there we go. And I sent that. I do have the address, so we will definitely do that.
I hope she's listening or watching the podcast. And she's like, uh-huh, I know.
Joy's like, what? God, it's making this so difficult.
Opened up a big can of worms. I've got like half a dozen people now going, I want mail.
Oh, geez.
I did.
Well, are
time.
You going to camp? Send us your camp addresses.
If anybody wants mail,
dude,
request
we should do that.
With
we should
big
do
D
a,
personally.
We should do a Big D and Bubba camp correspondence. And if you're going to camp, you send us your stuff. And every week we go through, we send you out a Big
can
D
I,
Bubba card.
Can I play?
We have
can
Big
I play
D
the
Bubba
part
cards.
Of Patrick on this one? Because I will. This is where Patrick would go, no, you can't do that. I know it sounds great in the beginning, but you're not going to do it past week two, and then we're going to look bad.
That's true.
Or you give it to the girl, and I'll be happy to do it weekly. I think it's adorable.
It's like when
Patrick handed me a ton of Christmas cards to address. And I think like I did one to his parents. And I go, did you just really put your parents' address? I'm like, I'm sending it to all his relatives. I go, did you give it to me? So that's fine.
I'm glad you're here because it used to be me. It's always me.
Rolling on down.
Hey, we need to fill out these. We have to handwrite these addresses.
Well, I'll tell you why it was always you, because it's usually your idea. Hey, what we ought to do is this. And then what we ought to do. And he like obviously then commits me and you and Patrick and everybody to it. So, yes, that's why it was always you.
No.
I like the camp postcard thing.
You can read my handwriting. Mm.
That is true.
Okay, yeah. So we're going to do that. We're going to do camp. Are we doing it for anyone? Should we start this on Monday on the show and talk about if you're going to camp?
No. Do you realize what you're doing? I'm going to be the sane one here for a moment.
What if we set expectations and, like, you'll definitely get one postcard from us? Like, we would shoot for weekly, but let's be fair. If you get one, you're ahead of the game.
I think if you do one,
then we're set, right?
Then they're cool. And that's a cool one to have, like, on the little thing, because we can have postcards made.
And then,
Immediately. We can have those turned around within 24 hours.
And if we send you a postcard, then you have to tack it up in your bunk and send us the picture of it tacked up in your bunk.
But what if they take their phones away?
They usually take their phones
away. Do they? Yeah, do they do places. That now?
Nowadays, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know there was a place where people still did that.
I don't know. For 7 weeks, probably not.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I think it seems like a week. Yeah, I get that. A friend of ours went to a Young Life camp for a week, and they took their phone away.
But
I don't think for 7 weeks, they're not going to take your phone.
Julia wants mail. She says she's taking 16 junior high kids to cheer camp. Does cheer camp work? I mean, is that?
Yeah, yes, because I was a cheerleader. I am all in for cheer camp. I will handle those.
All right, Julia.
So you have my support for that, Julia.
All right. So how do we, how do they get these addresses to us? Do we have them text the address to us?
Yeah.
Because
only one who does the text, so you guys are all sending them to me.
But then you just copy and paste them to me.
Oh, guys.
But here's the thing. Oh, I don't
know. Joy just responded.
Oh, what'd she say? I'm listening right now.
Remember I put new phone who dis?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, she's adorable.
Oh, what?
She put, Joy, I'm 11.
Aww.
I know.
See, we have to send her a postcard.
She's getting postcards every week. This is my mom's phone. I know.
That's adorable. That is
pretty
sweet.
Cute.
So, Joy, you are getting postcards.
All right, so how are we going to do this? Because people are asking. They're like, I want a postcard. I want a postcard. I want a postcard. How are we going to do this? Because they have to get the address. I mean, unless you guys feel comfortable with them posting their information on Facebook.
I don't care. I don't care.
But it's up to them. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You're putting your address out there, and I don't really.
No, text it. Text your address.
Yeah, text it. 1-800-667-8686. You can call or text that number. Obviously, we don't want you to call your address to us because we can't copy and paste a call. Again, 1-800-667-8686. If you didn't get that, rewind the podcast.
Patrick is going to be so mad.
Oh, he will be.
Right, he's going to be
hi, Joy. We're happy to send you a card while you're at
camp. Because you're so awesome.
Because you are so awesome.
Adorbs.
And boom. Okay, yeah, I'll do that. Okay, we're definitely sending Joy. Oh, great. Now I'm getting text messages.
Oh, they're coming in?
Yeah, they're coming
in. Just copy and paste them to me. I'll keep a spreadsheet.
And I'll just sit back over here and
any
watch
excuse
you guys.
To make a spreadsheet, I'm in.
So I'm
really?
I'm just seeing this now.
Oh, I love Excel. Like nobody's
really?
Business. Oh.
Oh, my God, you must hate working here with us because we don't
There's
have
no need.
Any, we have no reasons for...
If you go check my desktop, you'll see my finances, how much I spend on groceries, just to make excuses to have columns and formulas because I just love Excel.
Wow. Like over here, we have two things...
I sew and I play with Excel. Wonder why I don't have a guy.
Two things that never happen
Boring.
Here. Two things. Excel spreadsheets and PowerPoint.
Yeah.
Those are things we never do.
Mm-mm.
When is the last time, Big D, you made a PowerPoint?
I've never made a PowerPoint.
Exactly. I made one with my kids when they were teaching them in school. And I'm like, okay, this is dumb.
I think they're lame looking.
They are.
I don't think they're very good looking.
And it doesn't matter how, like if somebody splurged out for the super fancy PowerPoint, it still looks like, whoosh, here comes a graphic. And... I'm not impressed.
You know what I hate, though? I hate with PowerPoints when somebody tells you, like on the board behind you, you'll see, I hate PowerPoints that tell you what PowerPoints say. And they'll go, I hate PowerPoints that tell you what PowerPoints say. And then they click to the next slide. And it's just terrible.
And the worst is because you've already read the slide.
Yeah.
And he's still going. You're like, just go to the next one.
We got it. Move on.
I can read that. We're good.
You okay?
I think he's trapped in addresses.
Yeah. No, I just found something out about Joy.
Oh.
Yeah, we're definitely sending our card.
Oh. Okay. Well, good.
That's cool.
All right.
Yeah, we're going to do that.
Yay.
Absolutely.
Camp cards. That'll be great. You guys can... are we going to take a new picture for that, or are we going to just get generic little things? We need to price it, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Wait, for what? The card?
Yeah, if we make, like... generic. I mean, if we make like, you know.
Why don't we just get blank cards with our logo on it and then just write inside the card? We don't need pictures.
Okay.
I mean, we can if you want. No.
Keep the cost down.
I think it's just simple.
Well, I don't want to take a picture right now. I have a zit on my lip. I've got a pimple right on my mustache line. I'm like, what is this?
Could be herpes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's a pimple. And I'm afraid to touch it because I don't want it to like get worse.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
All right, we're about done?
I'm excited about this.
Again,
yes.
1-800-667-8686.
I'm with you on this now.
Text Big
Isn't
D
cute?
And Carson.
I think it's nice.
It's going to be really nice.
All right. Are we done now? We done? All right. From the Castrol GTX Magnatech Studios, Castrol GTX Magnatech, instant protection from the moment you start listening to the podcast. See, get it? Moment you start listening.
Yeah, we got it.
Wayne. Brandon Birds.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.